Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the Creator has allowed us to come before you another day, bringing to you his great, holy, and exalted words, even the words of truth. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here, Cincinnati, Ohio, 2330 Kemper Lane, bringing to you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth, for Yah ordained me to tell you the truth. And this is what I'm going to do. And who is this Yah? Yah is the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our King, he's our Judge, he's our Lawgiver, and Yah is the only Savior, and not just of Israel. Yah is the Savior of the world. And I praise the mighty Yah for once again allowing us to bring to you his great, holy, and exalted words. Tonight, we will begin dealing with the book of Exodus, the second book of the law. We dealt with Genesis. We dealt with 12 different generations in the book of Genesis. And each one of these generations are very vital to your ability to learn, to broaden your knowledge of Elohim. How can you know anything and you don't even know your beginning? You don't even know the beginning. And the Almighty will bless us to know the beginning, let alone your beginning. And this is what you're going to find. You're going to find that in the various books that's written by the inspiration of Elohim, many things written with his own finger, revealed to his servant Moses, so that he might write even the first five books in which we're going to be studying and going over. But this is what you're going to learn. that there were others outside of Moses who knew the Most High. They were inspired by the Most High. They had revelation of Yahweh, and they served and feared him. What Moses would do, Moses would write their story for them. So you'll be reading about people whom Yahweh wanted you to know about because they had a relationship with him. And even though they didn't write their story, Yahweh would give this revelation to his servant. And yes, he wrote this prophet like no other. Moshe wrote the first five books. We dealt with Genesis. Genesis comes from the Hebrew word Bereshit, which means the beginning. And that's what we dealt with. 12 different beginnings that if you study, if you learn, if you read about these 12 different generations, then what you're going to learn is not just about your beginning, but you're going to begin to learn about the beginnings in the word of Yahweh. And you should know the beginnings because you're supposed to be Yahweh's people. So I pray that you're studying. As I stated before, as we speak, we are getting our books printed up so that they can be in your hands and you can continue your studies all by your lonesome. Right now, what we're doing is introducing these studies to you so you would know how to go back and look at these things for yourself to see if we're telling you the truth and to see the things that Yahweh will show you. Because he don't show everybody just, he don't show just one person everything. No, there's many things that I won't see that you will see. Just like there's many things I will see that you ain't never heard. But now, we go to the second book. That was the first book. Dealing with your beginnings, dealing with your generations. With your generations, that's, what do you think your generation means? Generations mean your origin, your family, where you come from, your genes, what you're produced from. But now we're in the book of Exodus. And yes, Exodus does not mean exiting. Most people think Exodus means, oh, that means you're exiting from Egypt. And Exodus don't mean that at all. It don't mean your life in Egypt. It don't mean how you were delivered from Egypt. It don't mean any of those things that most people would tell you that it means. Just ask the average Israelite teacher, what do word Exodus mean? What do Exodus mean? And the truth is, Exodus come from the Hebrew word Shemot. And the Hebrew word Shemot means names. And you will find in the book of Exodus, because you're going to see why that's so important, just like Genesis means come from the Hebrew word Bereshit means beginning. All we dealt with was the beginning. Not just yours, but the beginning. The. HaBereshit. The beginning. But in Exodus, the second book, now we don't have to deal with the beginning. But what are we dealing with? See, according to the book of Exodus, the very first verse, just like Genesis is in the beginning, Bereshit. In Exodus, it will say in the first chapter, the very first verse, now these are the names. These are the names. And of course, it continues on, of the children of Israel which came into Egypt, every man, his household, came with Yaakov. Exodus by itself just means names. And why would they name a book just names? Because little do people know. Little have you been taught that the book of Exodus is clearly about names. Totally about names. And I'm going to show you beyond a shadow of a doubt what I'm telling you is the truth. That this whole story that Moses wrote in Exodus is about names of people and things that show, that demonstrate the wonders and the relationships and the works of the Most High. So the first names we're going to deal with, and let me tell you this also, just like there was 12 different generations, we're going to point out 12 different names. And just like these 12 different generations in the book of Genesis was spanning the 50 chapters of Genesis, these 12 different names in the book of Exodus will span the 40 chapters in Exodus. And what will you learn? You will learn in these 12 names the various laws, the various commandments, the various statutes, the various judgments of Yahweh. See, according to the scriptures teach us to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And little do people know, they don't even know the laws of Yahweh. And they do not respect and honor his testimonies. They will tell you his testimonies is nothing but mere commentary, which lets you know they don't know the word of Yahweh at all. And I'm going to show you beyond a shadow of a doubt, this ain't commentary by no stretch of the imagination. This is his law. So, yes, we're going to deal with names. And why? Because that's what the book of Exodus means. Names. How are you going to read a book and you don't even understand the title of the book? You don't even understand why it's called this. In the various names that we're going to highlight, most people probably never even heard of these names. For example, the first names we're going to deal with is in the first chapter of Exodus. Now, these names are two individuals, but these two individuals are talked about as one. They're not talked in a separate sense, so we only count them as one because they are connected to one another. And their connection to one another has everything to do with the law of Yahweh. And let me show you who these two are and how great their names are. So great that according to the scriptures, there's only one person before these two names that we're about to bring out would deliver the souls of people, the masses of people. The first person I've seen in the scriptures that would deliver people is our father Yosef in the book of Genesis, where he told his own brothers when they came down in Egypt, I know you did this evil to me and you sent me here, but you might have been evil, but Yahweh meant good. And he only sent me here to deliver lives, to save your souls by a great deliverance. Because Yahweh would smite the earth, not just Egypt, with 7 years of famine. And many could not survive the famine. But because Yahweh will use yourself as this deliverer, an instrument of righteousness and good to deliver lives, he delivered his brothers. But then Yahweh will do the same in Egypt. And let me show you who he did this through. And the name are the first of the 12 names that I will show you concerning the book of Exodus, concerning the book of names. This is who Yahweh will use first. And I wanted to show you something unique about these individuals. Watch what it says in the book of Exodus, the first chapter, the very first verse. Now, these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt. Every man and this also came with Yaakov, Reuben and Simeon, Levi and Yehuda, Issachar, Zebulun and Benjamin. And I may add, when you read this in the book of Exodus, first chapter, the way the names are laid out right here is exactly how the names was laid out on a breastplate. The only person that's mentioned from this order that we read in the Exodus, the first chapter, is Yosef, because he was already in Egypt. But where would he fit in here? He would come right after Zebulun. Yosef and Benjamin are brothers, and he was born before Benjamin. And there's a reason why Yahweh will order this thing like this, and we're going to deal with that order. But Reuben and Simeon, Levi, the first three. Then Yehuda, Issachar, and Zebulun. Then it will be Yosef and Benjamin and Dan. Then Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Yaakov were 70 souls. For Yosef was in Egypt already. And remember, I said Yosef is the first deliverer, the first person who was literally saved lives. Not Noah, not Adam, not anybody before then, not even Abraham. Isaac or Jacob? Yourself will do this thing. But watch what it says. 8:6 verse. Joseph died, and all his brothers, and all that generation, and the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, and multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty. And the land was filled with them. And there rose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said to his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass, and don't get it twisted, this word wisely don't mean like wisdom. Word wisely means shrewdly. Come on, let us deal shrewd with them. In other words, some evil thing that they will do. And it shall come to pass that when there falls out any war, they join also with our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. In other words, the first thing they would do, they put people over them that will kick their butt, that will be shrewd with them, that would oppress them. That's what they would do first. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramesses. In other words, then they worked them to death. They put taskmasters over them, and then they will work them to death. Almost like a society open 24 hours a day where the stores never close, and the bosses, they close down, they go to sleep at night, they get their rest, but their money is being made all day and all night. Because why? They got a bunch of people that they are oppressing, and then they got a bunch of people over them that will rule over all their tasks shrewdly and oppressively. 12 verse, but the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel, because they kept multiplying. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And that sounds like our people today. No matter how poor our people get, they multiply. Because we are the children of Israel. Here it is today. Even our own people will criticize our people and say, my goodness, why she keep having all these babies? She knows she don't have no money and she's going to be on welfare. So why she keep having these babies? Why she keep having these babies by different men? Why she keep having all these babies and she knows she can't take care of them? In other words, the one that's having the babies ain't grieving at all. They want the babies. But the people that see her having the babies, they grieve because, look, she can't even take care of these babies. But as soon as our people get money, for some strange reason, they don't want to have a bunch of babies. They want just two, a boy and a girl. No figure. But then it says, again, and the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they make their lives bitter with hard bondage and mortar and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field, all their service, wherein they made them serve was with rigor, and it was hard, a hard life. And the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwife. Now we're going into exactly the first individuals that we're going to highlight in the book of Names, which is called Exodus, which comes from the Hebrew word Shemot. And the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other, Puah. Who are these women? Who are these Hebrew midwives? Ask anybody, ask any Israelite, what women other than Esther do you know delivered people like Moses did? Moses was a deliverer. But Moses wasn't the first deliverer. Yahweh will have somebody deliver lives even before Moses. And yes, they were great deliverers. Watch how the Yahweh will talk about these two midwives. One whose name was Shiphrah, the other name is Puah. And I may add, Shiphrah means light. Puah also comes from brightness and brilliancy, another light. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared Elohim. Look what it says. They feared Elohim and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men, children, alive. Then I tell you, these were deliverers. And you notice the scripture says in the 17th verse, they feared Elohim. Now, it seems strange because prior to them, even though there's others that feared Elohim, but prior to them, and the only person that talked about that feared Elohim before them is a couple people. And Moses came after them. So they didn't fear Elohim because it was written in a book like you have today where everybody can sit there and read, okay, we're supposed to fear Elohim because this is one of the 7 requirements of Yahweh, to fear Elohim, to walk in his ways. No, they didn't read that, to fear Yahweh. Their life, their actions, they demonstrated the fear of Elohim. This is what he written in this book, so that you can see what the true fear of Elohim is. So you just won't have some book knowledge. It's a testimony showing you by action how one must fear Elohim. And most still won't get it, because most people think they fear Elohim. You think you fear Elohim because you don't eat pork. Well, Muslims don't eat pork. You think you fear Elohim because you don't wear nothing mingle. There's many people that just wear one fabric. You think you fear Elohim because somehow you keep the Sabbath. There's other people that keep the Sabbath day that don't fear the Most High. In other words, ask yourself truly, honestly, sincerely, what really are you doing? What really have you done to demonstrate your fear towards Elohim. Because at the end of the day, Yahweh will test everybody to see whether you fear him or not. And watch what they did. Watch what it says again. But the midwives feared Elohim and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but save the men, children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and have saved the men, children alive? Two women now. And the midwife said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered before the midwives come in to them. It don't matter what they told Pharaoh. The truth is, regardless of lively these women were, that was just for Pharaoh. These midwives feared the Most High. In other words, the fear of Elohim is when you put your life on the line as a sacrifice to Yahweh. Then one can say, oh yeah, he feared the Most High. Because look what he did. Look what he would do since he feared the Most High. You think just because you quit your job, but yeah, that's good. That's righteousness. But what really have you sacrificed to demonstrate your fear? And this was before Moses wrote anything. This was before Moses. Watch what it says. 20th verse. Therefore, Elohim dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mightily. In other words, just this one act, these midwives wouldn't kill the men, children alive, wouldn't turn in their men like many women are turning in their men today. That's why a lot of them locked up in jail, because a bunch of women called the law on them. And most of it was because of child support. A lot of it because they didn't come home when they supposed to. At the end of the day, a lot of men are locked up because of a lot of women. But here, these women, they feared Elohim over Pharaoh. And now, the children of Israel multiplied and grew very mightily. And it came to pass because the midwives feared Elohim, now Yahweh will establish their fear towards him. That's why he said it again. Because the midwives feared Elohim, that he made them houses. And this is a big thing. This is a beautiful thing. This is a blessed thing. He made Yahweh will make them houses. Yeah, I know a bunch of women got houses today. But I can assure you, it's not because you fear Elohim. You got cars and jewelry. A lot of men got a lot of big things too. But it's not because you fear Elohim. Their blessing came as a result of their fear towards Elohim. And the Most High will make them houses. In other words, in the fear of, they knew Pharaoh can have their heads. But they knew Yahweh control all heads. And that's when you know you fear Yahweh. Because The scripture says, fear not thy worm, O Yaakov. In other words, don't fear your death. Your death is when your worms begin to decay your body. So Yahweh said, don't even fear thy worm, O Yaakov. Because Yahweh got the power over death, life and death. So why are you going to fear death? No. You should have one fear. And ask Elohim. 22nd verse. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born, you shall cast into the river. Because the midwives, they just refused to kill the babies. So they just went hunting for babies to throw in the river. And every daughter, you shall save alive. They wouldn't even mess with the midwives no more. Wouldn't even deal with the midwives no more. Because now they demonstrated that they fear Elohim. I mean, according to the book of Ecclesiastes, let us turn there for a second, the 12th chapter. You really understood this. You would understand that this is the whole duty of man. Watch what it says. And what are these women named? Shiphrah and Puah. Why don't the Israelites talk about these two women, these two midwives, these two deliverers? Moses was not the only deliverer. They will make a great movie out of Moses. They will make a movie out of Yosef, the prince of Egypt. They will make a movie out of Queen Esther. They will make a movie out of Daniel in the Lion's Den. They will make a movie out of all these people. But where is the movie about Shiphrah and Puah? As a matter of fact, if it wasn't for Shiphrah and pour fear towards Elohim, there would be no Moses. Moses wouldn't even be here. The only reason the children of Israel grew mightily, as the scripture said, is because they saved the men, children alive. In other words, they saved many generations. If you kill the men, you kill the generation. And if you kill the generation, you kill our people. You kill the nations. Why come our sisters don't know that today? The men today, the Israelite man, don't get no type of honor today. You don't realize that he is the nation, the man. How are you going to have a nation without the man? How are you going to have an honorable nation without the man? Well, undoubtedly, Shiphrah and Puah knew that. And what taught them that? The fear of Elohim. And this fear, they didn't read in a book. They didn't have a book of Proverbs, where it says the fear of Yah is the beginning of wisdom. See, they didn't have none of that. So where did they learn it at? Where did they get this fear from that you're supposed to get, even though you reading it in a book? But reading it in a book does not demonstrate your fear towards Elohim. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, the 13th verse says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Whatever the matter is, let us just get to the bottom line and let us know the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. And this is what these midwives did. They feared Elohim. They had life and death in their hands, and they chose life. And to choose life is to choose the fear of Elohim. That's what life is all about. And that's what they chose. And you and I, we're going to have to demonstrate our fear. And the things that you're doing every day, you choose to do or choose not to do. These things are not some great sacrifice that you're making to show your fear. Because the things you're showing today, you'll decide tomorrow not to even do it. The very thing you're going to honor today, you will despise tomorrow. All it takes is the right condition. All it takes is the right situation. But let your life be on the line, as Shifra and Pua life was. And when it was, Scripture said they did the ultimate thing. They did the number one thing that Yahweh required. They did the whole duty of man. The whole man. The whole matter. The conclusion of the whole matter. And that's what you got to get to, the bottom line. And that is the fear Elohim. Furthermore, in the book of Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter, the 12th verse, watch, this is the law. But it ain't because they read this. They didn't read this, even though it's here in the law. Even though they did this, they did it before the man who would come and write the law. The man who would deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt, they delivered him. Because there would be no Moses if it wasn't for their fear. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter, ask people, ask the Israelites, who delivered Moses? They would tell you Pharaoh's sister. Take him out of the river. That's not saving nobody. Because that happened? No. Moses was supposed to be dead. Just like all the other men before him. Watch what it says in the book of Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter, the 12th verse. And now, Yisrael, what does Yahweh, Elohim, require of you? And watch what the first requirement is of Yahweh. A lot of people read this, but they don't know this law. They don't know this is the first requirement. And watch what it says. But to fear Yahweh, your Elohim. In other words, the number one thing, the first thing, the chief thing that one has to do is fear the Most High. And that's exactly what they did. And I'm going to show you so you can see for yourself what they did is what one really has to do. To fear Yahweh, you can't, you think you can do something less than them to show your fear? No, you're going to be tried and tested. Let's see what Abraham did to show his fear. Just like Shifra and Pua, two Hebrew midwives. Matter of fact, maybe if they were talked about more, if there was a book written about them, if there was Yahweh wrote about them, if there was a movie made about them, maybe we will have more of our daughters inspiring to be midwives. Most of our babies are born in a hospital. No wonder we're getting all these vaccinations. No wonder we're getting all these shots, polio and all kind of other shots. No wonder we're being marked all the time as babies. Then grow up not knowing why we're sick. Because we deliver our babies to them. But not so with the midwives. They did something different. They control their own destiny. Even though Pharaoh would say what he would say, Pharaoh wasn't in the room with them when they was delivering babies. And the midwives was delivering babies. No. They control their own destiny. And why don't we control our own? Watch what the scriptures say in the book of Genesis 22. We're talking about Shifra and Pua because that's the law. How are you going to even know about the fear of Yahweh? There's only a couple places you'll read before Shifra and Pua about the fear of Yahweh, about the fear of Elohim. You won't learn about this fear until after them. But there is a couple places that we're going to read to show you how great they was in the fear of Elohim. For example, in the book of Genesis 22. In the book of Genesis 22. And watch how this story go. The very first verse. And it came to pass, after these things that Elohim did tempt Abraham. And what do the word tempt mean? It means to test. And we all will be tested. And said to him, in other words, most Israelites is like a club today. You in this club, in this club, you say you keep the laws, commandments, statutes, and judgments of the Most High. But then soon as you had to take a test, just imagine if everybody got to take a test to be in this club. You know how many people failed a test? And all we got to do is give a test on the laws, commandments, statutes, and judgments. All we got to do is give a test on the various books of the law. Here it is. We're studying the book of Exodus. And most people don't even know what Exodus means. The only reason we're talking about Shifra and Pua, because that's what Exodus is talking about. The word Exodus comes from the Hebrew word Shemot, which means names. And that's what we're talking about. The various names of those who demonstrated, testified by their life, the word of Yahweh. And there's no greater thing that you can do. There's nothing that you can do before you can show your fear towards Elohim. And this is exactly what these deliverers would do. And it came to pass after these things that Elohim did tempt Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and get you into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell you of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him, Isaac, his son, split the wood for the burnt offering, rose up and went to the place of which Elohim had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to the young men, abide you here with the donkey, and I'll and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand and knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." And he said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, Elohim will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together. Now, did Abraham lie to him? Did Abraham know that Yahweh was going to give him a lamb? Because he surely said Elohim will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So what did Abraham tell his son? Was he lying? Was he hoping that something else came? Watch what it says. And they came to the place which Elohim had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, bound Isaac, his son, laid him on an altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son. That don't sound like a man who knew that Elohim was going to provide a lamb for him. He was ready to kill his son. This is the sacrifice that he will make. This was the son of his old age. Here, at this moment, at this time, Abraham was over 100 years old. Because he had Isaac at 100 years old. His wife was 90 years old when she had Isaac. So he was well over 100 years old when this was taking place. And he was ready to kill his only son at this time. And I'm going to ask again, what are you willing to demonstrate your fear towards Elohim? You think what you're doing today, you really showing your fear towards Elohim? Or are you practicing for this day as it came for Abraham to come? As I stated before, he was well over 100 years old. You would think, why would this man have to be tested? Surely, when he left his father's house, and he was separated from his father's house, he was 75 years old. So he definitely knew Yahweh. Just imagine you knew Yahweh for 25 years. Like myself, who've been knowing the Most High a little over 30 years now. Now you would think, I would know Yahweh. Since I've been studying and teaching and learning about the Most High, the Almighty been revealing things to me. So you would think I would know the Most High. Well, you would think Abraham know the Most High. But the question is not whether we know Yahweh or not. The question is, do we fear Elohim? And if someone questions my fear towards Elohim, listen, it's understandable whether they can question that or not. Yahweh know whether I fear him, but do I know I fear him? Watch what it says. 11th verse. And the angel of Yahweh called to him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Lay not your hand upon the lad, neither do you anything to him. For I know, for now I know, that you fear Elohim, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son from me. Now I know you. See, Abraham might have knew. Yahweh definitely knew. But even the angel of Yahweh didn't know. He didn't know. But he said, now I do know. Because look at the sacrifice that you were willing to make. See, with Shifra and Pua, look at the irony. With Shifra and Pua, they showed and demonstrated their fear towards Elohim by saving lives, by rejecting the commandment of Pharaoh. But here, Abraham was ready to kill and take a life to demonstrate his fear towards Elohim. What it will be to demonstrate your fear. He didn't kill, but he was prepared to. They saved lives. Even over their own. What sacrifice? What are you doing? And what will you show that you truly fear the Most High? Because this is the first testimony of women in the book of Exodus, the first chapter, that we will see, that showed and demonstrated, put their life on the line to deliver lives, to deliver souls. Yes, Shifra and Pua. And as we showed in the book in Proverbs 31, let's go to Proverbs 31. Because here in the book of Proverbs 31, talking about women, and I will repeat, a lot of men, are, whether it's justified or not, a lot of men are locked up in jail because of a lot of women. They just call it child support. But who had to call the man for that? And, of course, they locked up for a lot of other women and a lot of the women, they know I'm telling the truth, have a lot to do with it. These women, they save lives. And they didn't just save anybody's life. They saved the lives of the men, the Hebrew men, the Hebrew male children, because it was their life put on the line. And let me tell you, whose life you think put on the line today? The same men. Because if you destroy the men, you destroy the nation. Here it is in the book of Proverbs 31. And again, we're talking about Shifra and Pua. And why? Because we're dealing with the book of Exodus. And how can you deal with the book of Exodus and not deal with names? And how can you deal with any names without first dealing with the names that delivered the Hebrew men? Yahweh thought it was enough to mention them, by name, and even blessed them. And why? Because they fear Elohim. And is not that the law? That sure it is. Not because you ran with the law first, because they demonstrated it. They testified to it. And they put their lines on the life for it. In the book of Proverbs 31, watch what it says in the 29th verse. Many daughters have done virtuously. In other words, they've done a lot of good things. But you, talking about the virtuous woman, excel them all. You excel all them. But watch what this says. Favor is deceitful. And favor is, a lot of people want to do a bunch of favors. And when they do a lot of favors, they want a lot of credit. Don't give them credit and see where them favors go. Man, they don't appreciate none, so I'm going to stop doing this. They didn't even say thank you, so I ain't even going to do it no more. They didn't even say please, so I ain't going to do it. That's why favor is deceitful. Because either you're doing a favor because it's in your heart to do it, that's who you are, that's what you do, that's your kindness, that's your love, then you do it. But if you always looking for somebody to say thank you, please, to call your name out every time, oh, she do this and she do, then you're in the wrong business. You're in the wrong business of doing good. As a matter of fact, all your favors are deceitful because you want a lot of credit. Just stop giving credit and see what happened to those favors. Favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain because you got me and they just get caught up in the beauty. Oh, look how beautiful she is. Look at this. And you get men caught up in the virtues. And that's deceitful. But watch this. But a woman that fears Yahweh. It didn't say a virtuous woman. It says a woman that fears Yahweh. She shall be praised. See, it always comes back to this fear. And you got to know what the fear of Yahweh is, the fear of Elohim is. It's not this thing that you just imagine in your mind and you just read in the scriptures. No, you got to understand what this fear is all about. This fear will have you do things that masses won't do. Most women look alike. Most women sound alike. Most women do the same thing. But a woman that fears Yahweh, oh no, she separates herself from the pack. Just like a man that fears the Most High, he separates himself from the pack because he will challenge. He will be tested by the metal that he's made of. So, but a woman that fears Yahweh, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands. And why I say that? Because when you show your fear towards Yahweh, you show him by action. You say you want to do this and you want to do that and just let me do this and let me do that. Well, let's see if you fear the Most High. As soon as you get mad, you're going to show you don't fear the Most High. Because if you fear the Most High, it says, and let her own works praise her in the gate. Yeah, your works by itself is going to praise you. You won't even have to have somebody praising you, another man, another person. Your works is going to praise you. And that's what praised Shifra and Pua. Is their works. Their works. Like in the book of Joshua. Joshua was one of two men in the scriptures when they came out of Egypt that went into the land from the wilderness. And the scripture said they did this because they had a whole nother spirit. And what type of spirit do you think that was? Yeah, I can tell you what it was. It was the fear of Elohim. What other spirit can bring you to the great prominent that the fear of Elohim, there's no other spirit that can rise you up and cause you to rise to the top of honor with the Most High more than the fear of Elohim. Because the fear of Elohim is chief. It's number one. It's the principal thing. It's the main thing. Watch this in the book of Joshua 24. And watch what it says. After Yahweh, or Joshua, just told the people everything that Yahweh did. This is what Joshua said after he said, this is what Yahweh did for Judah. 14 verse. Now, therefore, fear Yahweh. Serve him in sincerity and truth. And you will serve him in sincerity and truth if you fear him. Put away the idols which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt, and serve you Yahweh. And if it seems evil to you to serve Yahweh, choose this day whom you're going to serve. The idols which your father served that were on the other side of the river, the idols of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve Yahweh. And you got to take a strong stance to say those type of words. And because he took a strong stance to say this thing, this is what he was able to tell the people in truth in the 19th verse. Joshua 24:19. And Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve Yahweh. And really, you can't. And why can't you? For he is a holy Elohim. He is a jealous Elohim. He will not forgive your transgressions, nor your sins. If you forsake Yahweh and serve strange idols, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he has done you good. That's what Yahweh will do. This is the part of Yahweh you really don't understand and know. And still to this day, you have not been challenged to demonstrate your fear. But what you should be doing is practicing every day on how you will do just that. One of the last scriptures I want to show you is in the book of Genesis, the 20th chapter. See, you will be tested. One day you're going to have to show your fear. Why? Because it's the law. Why? Because it's the main thing. It's the chief thing. It's the number one requirement of Yahweh. And Shiphrah and Puah, that's exactly what they did when it came time to show the type of spirit they would have. In the book of Genesis, the 20th chapter, watch what this says. Last scripture, 10th verse. And Abimelech said to Abraham, what saw you that you have done this thing? And Abraham said, because I thought, surely, the fear of Elohim is not in this place. And they will slay me for my wife's sake. Yet indeed, she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. And it came to pass, when Elohim calls me to wander from my father's house, that I said to her, this is your kindness which you shall show me, to me, at every place where we shall come, save me, he is my brother. And of course, most people don't understand this thing. They just think Abraham was wrong. He did the wrong thing. He put his wife's life in danger. He put his life in danger. She could have been taken by another man. But little do people know, this was one of Yahweh's divine tests. And the very thing that Abraham was looking for, the very thing he was searching for, is the very thing Yahweh is searching for in you. If someone walk in your house, will they see the fear of Elohim? If they walk in a sanctuary, will they see the fear of Elohim? If they interact with you, will they, their interactions, would it be the fear of Elohim? Just one more scripture on this. Genesis 42, before we close out, when we're about to close out, Genesis 42. Watch what this says. The 18th verse. And Joseph said unto them the third day, this do and live, for I fear Elohim. In other words, I'm not about to do nothing crazy to you all. Talking to his brothers. And why? Because I fear Elohim. And once you fear Elohim, then we're going to see order. We're going to see righteousness. We're going to see the ways of the Most High. Do you fear Elohim? And are you prepared, ready, formed and made with the same spirit of Shephra and Pua, the first names that I will bring to you in the book of names, which is called the book of Exodus. So until tomorrow, Yahweh love you, and so do I. Shalom.